listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yes, it's that time again, and here we are. We've missed you, but we're ready to rock and roll on this October football weekend. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So visit geico.com for a free rate quote. As we head into week 7 of the NFL, or the 2019 NFL season, storylines continue to develop. Injuries threaten to alter the landscape of the NFL universe. The Patriots are still undefeated. Oh, by the way, so are the 49ers. And there are still two winless teams. Thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight as we strive to bring you the Vegas truth to a grateful nation. This is the weekend edition of Straight Out of Vegas. As you know, Straight Out of Vegas airs Monday through Friday right here on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, 3 to 4 Pacific, 6 to 7 Eastern, with RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, and Jonas Knox. And Mr. Steve Fezzik, the only two-time winner of the prestigious Hilton Now Westgate Super Contest, will be with us all football season, as they say in Sauk Rapids. It's going to be lit. This is Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. Now, before we get to a full NFL slate with a lot of information we're going to impart, the World Series combatants are set. Tuesday night it opens in Houston for real. The opening series price, the Houston Astros are a pretty substantial favorite. They're minus 220. That means you have to put up $220 to win 100 for Houston to win the series. The comeback is Washington plus 180. What this basically means, per our mathematician, Steve Fezzik, is Houston wins this about 67% of the time. But look, you still got to play the games. Game one will be in Houston. The Astros open up game one minus 200. Washington plus 80. The total, the over-under total, is 7. It looks like the pitchers for Tuesday will be Gerrit Cole, who hasn't lost since May 22nd, and Max Scherzer. Game two looks like it'll be Steven Strasburg and Justin Verlander. And again, dogs do win now and then. Just 2 years ago, the very same Astros were dogs to the Dodgers, who opened up minus 165. But for the most part, Fez, 6 times out of 10, the favorite's probably going to cash.
Yeah, and the one thing about baseball, it will drive you crazy, not just as a recreation bettor, but even as a pro bettor. Bernie, think about tonight's game. It's 4-2 in the ninth inning. The total on this game, pretty much in most places, closes 9. You're thinking you're pretty safe here. Worst case scenario, you're probably going to get out with a push if somehow the game gets tied and it'll land 5-4. Nope, 2-run walk-off, 6-4, and that under 9 ticket that looks so good just a couple hours ago, confetti.
Well, and I'll tell you, if you were holding a Yankee ticket as well, you had hope, and we might have been talking about a Game 7 tomorrow, but I digress. Let's move on to the NFL, Fez, because you know, when I did a show in Detroit many years ago, one of my favorite segments was, the show was called Inside the Fratto House. One of the segments that a lot of people enjoyed was something we referred to as names in the news. And in the NFL, there are prominent names in the news, and I want to touch upon them because they have implications. There are ramifications. Let's start with Patrick Mahomes, who was hurt the other night. Now, look, it appears at this point it's not severe. He'll be back 3 or 4 weeks, but he's going to have to wear a brace. There's always a chance for future injury. Fez, that affects the betting line.
Yes, Patrick Mahomes, when healthy, when 100%, is the most important person to the point spread, Bernie. I have the drop-off from a healthy 100% Patrick Mahomes to Matt Moore being worth 8 points in the Las Vegas line. Now, there's a complication with this. Anyone who's been watching Mahomes knows that he's been aggravating his ankle injury the last couple weeks. That's why Kansas City lost to Indy and Houston. That's largely the reason why. And because of that, Mahomes not being 100%, the drop-off to Matt Moore is not as severe as it would have been had Mahomes been 100% before the kneecap injury.
You brought up a great point before the show. Matt Moore basically had one long gainer play that very much skewed his stats.
Yeah, so if you looked overall, Matt Moore's numbers, they weren't great, but they weren't bad. But he threw that bomb to the cheetah. Tyreek Hill went ahead and caught it, and it was a perfectly thrown ball. If They don't execute that play. However, now all of a sudden the storyline is, oh my goodness, what is Kansas City going to do? Matt Moore is clearly no longer capable of being a quarterback in the NFL.
Another name in the news is the Rams visit Atlanta tomorrow, and they need a win in the worst way. But they had a big acquisition this week.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey comes aboard. Hey, just give up two first-round draft picks and a number four. What does it matter? Because we're going to go for it. If we're the Rams, we're going to try to win this year. And I do think, even though I hated the trade for the Rams, I think it sends a strong message to all of the players that the team is doing everything they can to try to go ahead and make the playoffs this year. So I think that that's going to give the Rams more energy. And let's face it, they're a better team with Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey, one of the best cornerbacks in the league, only worth half a point to the point spread. So think about this. Mahomes, he's worth 8 points to the point spread. Ramsey's one of the best cornerbacks, only worth half a point, but still a really good player.
But to give that some perspective, the vast majority of defensive players aren't worth any points at all. So if you grade that on the curve, that's pretty good. So we'll see if Jalen Ramsey has an impact. Now, this next name in the news, look. You know, Fez, back in 2015, Taylor Swift had a big hit. And the bridge of the song was, haters gonna hate, 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 hate. She must have been thinking about Kirk Cousins when she wrote that song, because poor Kirk has taken more darts to the back of the head than most any three people I know. But he's answered his critics. By the way, the name of that song, the title of that song, was Shake It Off. In the last two games, Kirk Cousins shook it off. 79% completion rate, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, a 142 QBR rating, back-to-back victories. Can Kirk build from that?
I'm just so relieved you're not asking me to name Taylor Swift songs. So I will shake
That's
off.
That's going to be later in the show.
I will shake off that concern. And Kirk Cousins presently, he's ranked number 16 in the NFL in QBR. Think about this. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because with his ups and downs, I would say Kirk Cousins, and he's right there in my rankings, is the average quarterback in the NFL. He's right there in the middle. If there was a card in the deck that you would describe Kirk Cousins with, I'd say he's the 8 of clubs. He's right in the middle, except Kirk Cousins doesn't perform like the 8 of clubs. On some days, he's performing like the King of Diamonds. On other days, the 3 of Spades. He has his good games and his bad games. I will say this. We've identified at Straight Out of Vegas a trend
save
with
that.
Kirk Cousins. I'm gonna save that
material for when we break down the Vikings-Lions, which we'll be getting to a little bit later in the show. But look, give credit where credit is due. Let's see if it can continue.
And he's certainly getting the ball to Diggs, who has gotten 300 yards the last three games. Suddenly, Diggs wants to stay in Minnesota, and he's doing great.
The home of Spook is happy now. We're going to get to that game in just a minute. One final name in the news, not for nothing, Todd Gurley. Now, he will play tomorrow. The real question is, how much are they going to use him? How much of a factor is Gurley, not just tomorrow, on a go-forward basis? Because you know the narrative I'm hearing out of L.A.? They're saving him. They're saving that load. Now we've got load management in the NFL. It's sucking my will to live, this load management. But what they're saying is, we're not too concerned about the first 10 weeks. We don't want to put too many more miles on the car until the last 7 or 8 weeks and heading into the playoffs.
Well, I have to ask, last year, was the Super Bowl not that important? And they were saving him, and they wanted to get C.J. Anderson off the couch, more reps. You would think during the playoffs and the Super Bowl, if the injury concern wasn't big, you wouldn't save someone in those games. But Vegas, bottom line, the answer is that Todd Gurley making the $15 million a year is a non-factor right now in the Vegas point spread. Whether he plays or not, he does not move the needle.
Good. We're going to continue to follow this, Fez, on a week-to-week basis. Couple of quick bits of business that I think you need to know about before we move on. The dogs continue to bark. Last week, 10-4 against the number. For the year, cumulatively, if you had bet on underdogs blindly, you'd be 56-35-1. That's a cool 62% against the number. Road teams, by the way, 55-34-1. Again, 62%. We'll see if that trend continues. By the way, if you're curious, the most profitable teams in 2019, the Buffalo Bills, 4-1 against the number, followed by the Niners, Lions, and Saints. Niners and Lions, 4-1 against the spread. Saints, 4-2 against the spread. The least profitable teams, not hard to figure out. The Miami Dolphins, 1-4 against the spread. Atlanta 1-5. The Redskins 1-5. This one might surprise you, Fez. The Baltimore Ravens 1-5 against the number. They're down a cool 4 units if you blindly back them.
And if you bet the Baltimore Ravens, and I had the other side, I had the Cincinnati Bengals, and I am not going to take any victory lap or any accolades.
My best bet last week.
The Bengals got their butts kicked the entire game. They ran the opening kickoff back for a touchdown, and then they got a backdoor score where they converted 3 third and longs and fourth and longs. If you bet Baltimore, well, that's why they call it gambling. Baltimore may be 1-5 against the spread. They really should be 2-4.
Well, there are, you know, I'll tell you what, though. You never apologize for cashing a ticket. How many bad beats do you have? And it's still a 60-minute game. And we talked about this last week. Following up after the Pittsburgh game, Baltimore doesn't cover. Maybe they wore out toward the end of the game. Maybe that's why those 3 outs. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. Let's look ahead. The New York Giants getting a couple key playmakers back. Tomorrow, they're laying 3 against the Arizona Cardinals. It looks like, Fez, that Kyler Murray is really starting to assert himself nicely in that air raid offense, 34 points last week. But Arizona's defense against Atlanta was completely overwhelmed last Sunday, allowing 444 yards and 33 points. Thank God Atlanta missed an extra point.
Yeah.
Or we'd have a different conversation.
Yeah, so the Arizona Cardinals have somehow gotten a 2-game winning streak together, winning in overtime against the Bengals and winning on a missed extra point. And I'm not buying into the hype that the Cardinals are suddenly other than a doormat in the NFL. I do know this. The spot is really bad here for Arizona. They're facing a Giant team off of the Thursday game. 10 days to prepare. The Giants getting healthier, getting their playmakers back, specifically Barkley. Now, we talk about the value of players in the NFL. I have Barkley as one of 3 non-quarterbacks worth a full 1.5 points to the betting line. So him and McCaffrey and Zeke Elliott are my 3 most important players that are not quarterbacks. And tight end Ingram, he's really important as well to the Giants offense. So getting your playmakers back, and let's face it, the Giants had to go with their 3rd string running back last week because their 2nd string running back was out as well. And I think that this is going to give you Daniel Jones his playmakers back. And because of this, I agree with all the money has been on the Giants. Giants line has been going up from 3, and I expect it's going to be 3.5 by tomorrow morning.
I believe it's one of Colin Coward's best bets, the Giants in the Blazing 5. I have real interest in this game tomorrow. I'll explain why later. As my buddy, Arnie Spanier, who I think has real interest in this game. But we've got a lot of games to get to, including Houston, Indy, Miami, Buffalo, Minnesota, Detroit. And we're going to get to all of them, and there's a lot of narrative surrounding every game. I want to remind you that Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Discover. You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back. Discover cash back match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback. Match. He's Steve Fezzik. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
You're back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. We dive right back in to this full NFL slate. Fez, the Houston Texans visit Indianapolis tomorrow. I believe the current line is Colts -1.
It is.
All right. Couple of things here. Coincidentally, both of these teams, the Texans and the Colts, coming off road wins versus Kansas City in Kansas City. However, Indy, theoretically, is more rested coming off a bye week. And that may not bode well for Deshaun Watson. I mean, I know the guy's tougher than a $3 steak. He's going to get hit tomorrow. And the truth of the matter is the Texans are 24th against the pass. Can Jacoby Brissett take advantage? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, let's talk about Houston being able to protect Watson, because that really arguably is the one question you have to answer before betting any Houston game. Think back to that loss against Carolina when Watson got sacked 6 times and Houston could only score 10 points. Contrast that with the Houston blowout wins, such as the Atlanta win where they put 50 on Atlanta and Watson didn't get his jersey dirty, no sacks. I think Indy will be able to get to Watson, and the reason being is that Indy does have a slightly above average pass rush, And also, Houston's missing one of their key linemen. So Tytus Howard is out for Houston. That bodes poorly for them. And let's face it, well, we ask ourselves, can Indy get enough points to win this game? I think that coming off the bye, you mentioned it, Bernie, what a great spot for T.Y. Hilton and for Mack, their two playmakers, to get healthy. They both played last week. Both were not 100% when I said last week in their last game 2 weeks ago. And I think that the Indy offense will be much better because of that.
Full disclosure, I am on the Colts tomorrow. It's one of my favorite plays. Miami visits Buffalo. The Bills laying 17. Seems like every week, Fez, we've got one of these goofy three-score favorite line teams. Now, before people rush to the window because Miami's so bad, you may be interested to know that the last time the Buffalo Bills were a 17-point favorite against anybody for any reason was back in 1992. They were a 17-point favorite versus the New York Jets, and the Jets won outright that day, 24-17. That's when they had Jim Kelly, and they were in the midst of going to four straight Super Bowls.
And this isn't exactly the Jim Kelly juggernaut offensive team that team was. You look at this total in this game at 40.5, and you got to wonder, are the Bills going to be able to score enough points to cover? Because it sure looks like an odd line being that high, with Buffalo being a team that basically has a mediocre offense and quite a good defense. And I tell you, Miami, I think going with putting Rosen on the bench, going with Fitzmagic, that was an unexpected decision midweek, and I think that the team will respond to that. I think that I certainly have Fitzmagic the better quarterback than Rosen right now, but I think the team chemistry will improve as well. It's difficult to do, but I went ahead and bet on the Fish plus the 17.
Yeah, I like him too. You nailed it. Buffalo's defense is the goods. They're very good in all categories, but when you look at Buffalo's offense, it doesn't pass the eye test. Josh Rosen drops back the pass, makes one read progression. His default mechanism is to run, and that's it. And a lot of their big gainers are on broken down plays like that when linebackers are dropping back into pass coverage. And Josh Allen takes off and runs. And you brought up a good point. When Fitz came off the bench last week from Miami, the team did seem to respond to him.
Yeah, trailing Washington 17-3. And amazingly and unfortunately for those who bet Washington minus the 4.5, that ultimately got Miami in the back door, losing 17-16.
All right, let's head to Detroit. The Minnesota Vikings, I believe, are now currently laying 2.5 at Detroit. Is that the line you show?
Yeah, all the money has been on the Vikings, opened up picking some spots, yes. And now Vikings laying 2.5.
And it was hanging around 1 for a while, then it just rocketed to 2.5. We talked about Kirk Cousins at the top of the show and the fact that he's put up some gaudy numbers the last couple of weeks, and they're going to need him to do that again tomorrow. I would say this, though. This is a game, Fez, I'll tell you where my eyes gravitate toward. Minnesota's strength versus the Lions' weakness. Here's what I mean by that. The Vikings are going to come into town with the number 3 rush offense in the National Football League, 5.1 yards per play. That's significant. Juxtapose that against the Lions' number 27 ranked rush defense, giving up 5.3 yards per play. That has to open up passing lanes for Captain Kirk Cousins. What's your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, you nailed it. Dalvin Cook oftentimes has played for the Vikings and not played well because he was compromised. He wasn't 100% healthy, and he is this year, and that has really helped the Viking rush game. And as for Kirk Cousins, you know, we've uncovered here at Straight Out of Vegas a neat little stat. Kirk Cousins is a guy who loves detail. He loves to go ahead and have everything scheduled out in 15-minute blocks. And because of that, when he plays in the normal start time, the 1 p.m. Eastern start time, the Vikings are great to bet on. In fact, they've covered 2/3 of the time when Cousins has had to play in any other start time. The Vikings only cover 1/3 of the time. What time is this game, Bernie?
1 p.m. Eastern.
That could explain part of the reason why all the money has been on the Vikings.
And of course, as I digress, you accurately pointed out that this stat emanated from Jonas Knox, I believe. And then, of course, McKenzie and some of the folks here at Straight Out of Vegas started to research it, and it backed up Jonas's premise. And it's funny because I listen to Jonas and Brady Quinn every Sunday night. They were kind of going back and forth about this last week. Brady Quinn was taking credit for it. and then Jonas took it and distilled it, and then it got here to straight out of Vegas, and there you have it. So let the drama continue, but let's see, first of all, if Kirk Cousins can follow up with a third straight performance. I'm actually betting he can. The Vikings, you guys pointed out during the weekly edition of Straight Out of Vegas, that Colin may have inadvertently omitted the fact that the Vikings should have been one of the eight teams that could make the Super Bowl, but I think their fortunes do rest with Kirk Cousins. We know they've got an excellent defense, a good running game. They've got weapons. They're well coached. But Cousins has to manage this team and take care of the ball.
Amazingly, the Vikings are my third best team in my power ratings right now behind San Francisco and the New England Patriots.
Big game for them tomorrow on the road at Detroit. All right, another big game in the same division, Green Bay. It's not a divisional game, but they're home, I believe, the current line, hosting the Packers, hosting the Oakland Raiders, fresh off their monumental performance in London. Green Bay laying 5, correct?
Correct. And think about this line. This is really an interesting line because the Green Bay home field advantage is one of the best in the NFL. I have that home field edge at 4 points. So what is this line saying? It's saying that Green Bay on a neutral site would only be 1 point better than the Oakland Raiders. How can that be? How can Oakland and Green Bay almost be comparable teams? Well, I think I can explain it in this case, and it's all about the cluster injuries to the Green Bay wide receivers. Number one wide receiver, Adams, turf toe. He's worth a full point. He's not going to play. And so now you've got your number two and your number three wide receivers. I don't know if Geronimo Allison's going to play either, and that leaves them with a banged-up Valdez Scantling as the go-to wide receiver. Aaron Rodgers has been playing very well this year, but you got to wonder, does he have anyone to throw to in this game?
Yeah, I'm afraid of this game. I want nothing to do with it. I think Oakland's a public team, and as you know, Fez, public money can be significant when it comes to moving a line in football, more so than professional money. A couple things to point out here. Derek Carr, having a pretty good campaign, completing 74% of his passes. That's good for number one in the NFL and his QB rating 96.7. But here's where I throw a flag. The Raiders defensively, not so much, really, especially in their inability to get pressure on the quarterback. Only 9 sacks for the entire season. That's good enough for a number 28 rank in the NFL. They've only had 19 quarterback hits the entire season. That ranks 30th. What does that mean? Aaron Rodgers is probably going to have room to operate. And by the way, you know, we always talk, Fez, not for nothing. If you blindly bet Bill Belichick, you'd be about 61%, I think.
Like yeah, that. Since he won his first Super Bowl, which is amazing because they're a public team. They're the one public team that actually wins against the spread.
And they cover. Well, guess what? Aaron Rodgers, in the Aaron Rodgers era, at home, blindly, 59% against the number. And if they're a home favorite, or they're an ATS favorite, home or on the road, 59%. That is not bad. All right, we've still got to get to Philadelphia, Dallas, New Orleans, Chicago, Rams, Atlanta, and the whole rest of all the games, plus best bets. But first, let's go to the man who's so tough. You know, like Khabib, he once wrestled a bear, but this guy actually pinned the bear. Let's go to Brian Finley with the latest.
Yeah, I think that was like a stuffed animal of a bear. Jose Altuve crowned as the ALCS MVP after booming a bottom of the ninth two-run homer as the Astros dampen the Yankees 6-4, win the series in 6. Here's Altuve afterwards.
I was just thanking God for the opportunity to go to another World Series, and thanks everybody in the ballpark because you guys are the bigger reason why we're here. And my teammates, they're the MVPs of the game.
Altuve's teammate Alex Bregman took a less humble approach afterwards when he said, quote, "We knew this Saturday morning when we woke up we were going to be watching football tomorrow." Game 1 of the World Series with the Astros and Nationals starts Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox TV. College football, Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa suffered a high ankle sprain in number 1 Bama's 35-13 dismantling of Tennessee. Crimson Tide head coach Nick Saban said Tua will likely miss a week or two. Number 2 LSU body bags Mississippi State 36-13. Joe Burrow threw 4 touchdown passes. Clemson and Oklahoma both roll in their wins. Illinois with the upset special over 6th-ranked Wisconsin 24-23. 7th-ranked Penn State clotheslining number 16 Michigan 28-21. Nittany Lions quarterback Sean Clifford had a hand in all 4 of his team's touchdowns. BYU standing their ground against number 14 Boise State, 28-25 the final. The Cougars convert on 4th-and-1 in their own territory late to lock up the win, and 15th-ranked Texas avoids embarrassment and pushes aside Kansas 50-48 thanks to a late field goal. Hey, online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Back to Bernie Fratto in the Geico Fox Sports Studios.
Thank you very much, Brian. And what does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? Means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. Fez, let's head to Cincinnati, where they're a home dog against a team that flip a coin with these guys, dude. The Jacksonville Jaguars, latest number I show, -3.5. Does that jive with what you...
Money on the Jags up to -4.5.
Wow.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to get involved in wagering in this game. I will say this. I'm worried about Jacksonville with the trade of Ramsey. Maybe long-term that'll help that there aren't distractions, but it's sending a signal to the team that they're looking towards rebuild with the stash and company. However, I don't want any part of the Bengals who got outgained by 250 yards. I had a winning ticket with the Bengals last week. It was a semi-miracle that that ticket cashed. I don't want to tempt fate with these Bengals again.
Yeah, I think whatever's... With respect to Jalen Ramsey, that's already baked into this number. Just a couple things to note. Gardner Minshew kind of had a rough day at the office last week against a very good Saints team. He had trouble with accuracy, holding onto the ball too long. But to your point, he gets some relief tomorrow. He gets to face the Cincinnati Bengals' 31st-ranked defense. And not for nothing, again, I pay attention to these things. The Bengals, 4-10 against the spread the week following Baltimore. Okay, physical game last week, divisional game, 4-10 the week following Baltimore. You just mentioned Jalen Ramsey gets to suit up with his new team tomorrow as the Rams head to Atlanta. I show the Rams -3. Is that the latest line? Because I saw 2.5 earlier in the week.
It's settled in at 3, and it's all about, I think, the dream crusher for Atlanta. Let's face it.
Okay.
1-5 for Atlanta. All of a sudden, Quinn took over the defensive coordinator responsibilities. That has not worked out well. I think Quinn is on borrowed time in Atlanta, and Atlanta knows at 1-5 they're not going anywhere. Because of that, I absolutely cannot back Atlanta in this game. And let's face it, Atlanta can't sack anyone. They're last in the league in sacks.
Yes.
And what's been wrong with the Rams offense? Well, a lot's to blame, but a big part of that is the O-line not being able to protect Goff. They should be able to protect him here.
Absolutely. And that's going to matter because to this point, the Rams offense has been in complete disarray. Last week against the 49ers, they looked horrible. In the third quarter, they had what you would call the third quarter from hell. They had -29 yards for the entire quarter. They fumbled in one possession and had 3 3-and-outs. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? All right, let's move on to the nation's capital, the Washington Redskins, catching 10 at home, down to 9.5 against the visiting San Francisco 49ers. Now, we talked about this earlier. San Francisco only 8-21 against the number following their game against the Rams. However, you have to temper that, because Coach Shanahan might have a thing or two to say about this. He's the head coach of the 49ers, in case you didn't know it.
Yes, and Kyle Shanahan has a history, of course, with these Redskins back in 2013. He worked for the Redskins, and his dad was the coach, and both were fired. And because of that, think about this. Normally, you fly across the country after a big divisional win, and you're playing a 1-5 team. This might be the letdown spot. But because Shanahan probably has an axe to grind with the Washington Redskins, I don't expect any let up at all. And because of this, I could only look towards the 49ers.
All right. I think if you play the Redskins, you're playing the number, not the team. Case Keenum has presided over a 13-win team. He knows what he's doing. That's a lot of points to lay on the road. I'm not getting in front of the Niners. I really think they're for real. I'm going to go ahead and pass on that game. There are just better games on the board. I'm not sure this next one is one of them, though. The Chargers, you know, under 500, but they're a favorite on the road. Actually, excuse me, check that. Chargers are catching 2.5 from Tennessee, correct, Fez?
They are. Money has been coming in on Tennessee, and I think it's because the feeling is that they're going to respond by naming Tannehill the quarterback instead of Mariota. And I have these two quarterbacks rated equal, mostly because Mariota's a better runner than Tannehill. But let's face it, neither of those quarterbacks is a quarterback you should be excited about.
Well, I would just say this. Tennessee, ever since thumping Cleveland week one, has been very much a Jekyll and Hyde team. This is a stat, Fez, that's not good. In five of their last six games, they've been outgained. Translate that to the better and what that means.
Yeah, well, if you get outgained, I imagine that I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but obviously that's a metric you're not going to be able to be successful with. I would imagine the team winning the yardage is probably winning straight up 70% of the time.
We've got to get to Baltimore, Seattle, New Orleans, Chicago, and, of course, Philadelphia, Dallas, and our best bets. But I want to sneak something in here because the updated Heisman Trophy odds came out this week. They come out every week. And Tua, who before the season was 3-1, is now 5-7, which means he's basically minus 140, assuming he's healthy. But there are a couple of other numbers here that really blow me away. One has to do with Joe Burrow, the quarterback at LSU. Back on August 31st, you could have got Joe Burrow at 200-1, Fez, to win the Heisman Trophy. He's now 3-1. Jalen Hurts, 6-1 at the beginning of the year, now 3-1. Justin Fields of Ohio State, he was 6-1 at the beginning of the year. Figure this one out. He's now 14-1. But here's the name. I buried the lead. Trevor Lawrence, before the season started, was plus 275. All right. Basically, I mean, that there's no value there, right? And he's got to go through an entire season of 4 months, and you really can't falter. Trevor Lawrence is now 40-1. I don't think he's going to win the Heisman. I want to give Jason McIntyre credit because he was on a show right before Labor Day, and he basically said, look, the favorite never wins the Heisman. Forget it. They don't. He was very emphatic, and he was right. So he kind of put me on the spot. He said, who do you think will, if it's not Trevor Lawrence? I said, I think it could be Jalen Hurts. I'm not sure if he's going to. It could be Tua. It could be Joe Burrow. But to Jason's point, Trevor Lawrence, now 40-1.
Yeah, and the book on the Heisman is how the odds change. Think about when Lamar Jackson won the Heisman. He was 100-1 going into the year. By October 1st, he was the favorite. The odds swing like no other when it comes to Heisman voting.
Coming up, Baltimore, Seattle, New Orleans, Chicago, Philadelphia, Dallas, and best bets. He's Steve Fezzik. I'm Bernie Frano. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
You're back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Frano, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And I want to remind you that Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover Cash Back Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback match. Before we get to Baltimore, Seattle, Fez, I want to thank our crew back in Los Angeles. Eric Roberts, Chris Perfett, Brian Finley, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together. Great job, guys. Really appreciate all of your efforts. Couldn't be in the air without you. Fez, let's head to Seattle. The Seahawks laying 3.5 against the visiting Baltimore Ravens. And you have dubbed this game, quote, the strange line of the week.
Yeah, all the money on Baltimore, and this line's currently Seattle -3. And most would say, all right, that line would make sense if these were two equal teams, and we'll give 3 for Seattle for home field. However, Seattle, home of the 12th man, they've got the largest home field advantage in the NFL by my numbers at 4. So because of this, if Seattle has a 4-point home field edge and they're only laying 3, that means that the bettors are saying Baltimore is the better team. And Bernie, I don't buy it at all. I understand that you can make a case that Seattle's overrated based upon 4 close wins, but I think you can make the case certainly that Baltimore is overrated. Look no further than their week 1 win against Miami, where they outgained Miami by 400 yards. And that's the only reason why Baltimore's statistics, their underlying stats for the year, are even half decent. They're still not very good. And I firmly believe that Seattle's a top 10 team and Baltimore is not. I think Seattle -3 with that great home field is cheap.
Full disclosure, I am not involved on this game, nor will I be. Let me interject some data that I think underscores your premise, Fez. Baltimore is 1-5 against the spread this year, by the way. Their wins, the cumulative record of the teams that they've beaten, 5-18, and their losses have been against teams with a winning record. Seattle has a winning record. Russell Wilson having a transcendent year, 14 touchdowns, no interceptions. His QBR rating is 124.7. Now give it up to Lamar Jackson as well. 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He likes to keep plays alive with his feet. One of the stats for me that makes Seattle so formidable, their rush defense this year, giving up a paltry 68.3 yards per game. That translates to about 3.6 yards per play.
And you've got what is my number one rated quarterback right now in Russell Wilson, because Mahomes, obviously, is not playing. Otherwise, a healthy Mahomes would be number one.
One last thing, though. Colin Coward, I believe, has Baltimore as one of his blazing five. And Colin has been hot for years, and he gave a good rationale. And I don't know that I want to go against that. I'm going to stay off this game, but I can't make a case for Baltimore. But Colin did, so something to watch. That's what makes, I think, a good horse race here, is when you have disparate thoughts and opinions and analyses on the same game. I'm going to watch that game tomorrow. I think it'll be a good game. I won't be betting on it, though. New Orleans visits Chicago. The Bears up to 4. Is that correct, Fez?
It is, yes. Now,
Alvin Kamara is out. I got to believe he might be worth a half a point, maybe even a point. He's that important?
Yeah, he's my number 4 rated running back worth a full point, yes.
All right, so a couple things to note. The Bears 0-5, their last 5, following a post-bye week game. But let's keep this in mind. They are steaming mad. They are embarrassed for that egg they laid in London. And I tell you, Teddy Bridgewater has really done the magic. I heard a story about him earlier in the week. True story. When Bridgewater took over for Drew Brees, they visited Seattle. And as you recall, the Saints won outright. The only quarterback, the only team to ever beat Pete Carroll in Seattle, in the month of September, took his entire offense out to dinner, got up, gave a speech, and said, "Guys, look, I'm not Drew Brees. I'm not going to try to be Drew Brees. But if you get behind me, I'm going to make you proud of me, and we're going to win tomorrow." And they did, and they've won 4 straight. I'm not so sure it continues tomorrow in Chicago.
Yeah, I agree. I've got Bridgewater, my 28th rated quarterback. He played a great game against Tampa Bay. Aside from that, he's been nothing more than a game manager, and the rest of the team has won those games. I think this is the game the Saints lose.
Fez, a game I think that'll be, by the way, I think that's the biggest decision for the books tomorrow, New Orleans-Chicago, from what I'm hearing. Philly visits Dallas. Cowboys laying 3. It's the Sunday night game, the standalone national TV game. Philly, as a road dog since 2010, a sparkling 77% against the number. I don't know if their head coach Doug Peterson guaranteed victory or not. Still got to play the game. They're going to play it whether he guaranteed it or not. Fez, tale of two seasons for the Cowboys, though, man. First 3 games, 3-0. Last 3, 0-3. First 3 games, 6 touchdowns. Last 3 games, no touchdowns. Their point differential, plus 25 in the first 3 games, minus 38 in the last 3 games. Unpack this.
Well, I think it's pretty easy, the explanation. Dallas got to play 3 cupcakes early on in the year, and now they've had to play 3 tough teams. And now with both teams at 3-3, both teams with key injuries, both teams staring into the abyss of falling below 500, the bettors are asking, who do you want? Do you want Peterson or do you want Garrett? And they're saying, you know what? I'd rather have the Eagles, but the Eagles are certainly compromised still with all these injuries, and we'll have to see whether the Dallas O-linemen, who are seemingly all questionable, whether they're going to be able to play.
You got to get a big game out of Ezekiel Elliott tomorrow night, don't you, Fez?
You know, we keep waiting for it. He's not getting any plays of over 25 yards.
Well, you know, my friend Teddy Atlas likes to say, success is like a martini. It relaxes you. I don't want to cast that aspersion on him, but I'm going to watch this tomorrow night. All right, let's get to best bets. Sleepy, who's been rock solid for the last year, he likes the visiting Arizona Cardinals tomorrow, but only if you get 3.5, okay? Not 3. You got to have 3.5. Hold that thought. We'll come back to it.
Yeah, and it's very important to win betting the NFL. You got to get the very best number, and I expect all the money will be on the Giants. So if you agree with Sleepy and you like Arizona, contrarian play, think about it. If you're going to bet contrarian, bet it right before the game kicks off. You'll probably get your best number.
Again, if you're going to get on Sleepy's back, plus 3.5 Arizona. It's got to be 3 in the hook. or more.
Yes. And as for my best bet, I'm going with Indianapolis minus one against Houston. I think that bye came at the perfect time for Indy to get healthy, especially their playmakers, T.Y. Hilton and Mac. And because of that, I think that Indy will be able to score enough points to get past a Watson-led team that, frankly, may have trouble protecting him.
By the way, Darius Leonard's back as well. They're arguably their best defensive player.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm talking about Indianapolis.
Yeah, tremendous linebacker.
All right, so Fez, you like Indy minus one. Sleepy likes the Arizona Cardinals plus 3.5. So this is what makes this interesting. This might be a first on Straight Out of Vegas because I really like the New York Giants tomorrow. Now, if the line is 3, Sleepy's probably not on it. Again, he's got to be 3.5. I am not so sure the line's going to come into play here. I think Arizona's defense was completely overwhelmed last week. Almost 450 yards they give up to Atlanta, 33 points. They go on the road. Barkley's back. Ingram's back. Danny Dimes coming home. New York's going to treat this like a mini playoff game. I really like them tomorrow. New York minus 3. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Straight Out of Vegas. He's Steve Fezzik. I'm Bernie Fratto. Next up, the man from Nashville. It's Jason Martin and the Jason Martin Show.
Straight Out of Vegas!